Thank you for being here today at the end of the week. And we've spent this week talking about what God means when he commands each one of us to repent. And when we left off last time, I was telling you about the second of two Hebrew words for repentance used in the Old Testament. And both of these words are descriptive of repentance taking place within our hearts. The heart is the seat of the emotions. We sin emotionally, and so we must repent emotionally. If you've been with us, then you will hopefully remember to repent means that we repent with our whole being, our emotions, our minds, and our wills. And we've started with our emotions because that is where the Old Testament starts. Next week, we will move over to the New Testament and deal with what it means to repent in our minds and in our wills. So you definitely want to be here all next week. What I want to do today is to start by reminding you of these two Hebrew words and then to briefly state what they mean, followed by a little more work in the Old Testament on the second word. Okay? We don't want to get lazy with the Bible just because it is Friday, so do you remember our words? The first is nachem, and it means to have sorrow, to be sorrowful, grieved, and regretful. The word has deep feeling, emotion, and expression. It means to breathe deeply and to sigh in sorrow and in grief. This is what the Jews understood repentance to mean. Repentance is an expression of the emotions. And the second word is shuv, and it means to turn from evil and to return to God. And this is the most common Hebrew word in the Bible for repentance. So to repent means to turn from evil and to return to God. And again, both apply to one's emotions. Because sin takes place in the heart, the seat of our emotions, then repentance must also take place there. Repentance infests our whole person. Repentance is never limited to, say, just one part of our being. I want to encourage you to repent of your emotional sin to God. Tell him about what you are feeling, those sinful feelings, and ask him to please forgive you of your sin through Jesus Christ. All people have emotions, and we use them to sin against God. Now, you might argue, I am not an emotional person. To which I say, yes, you are. All people have emotions. What you are likely doing is to suppress yours. And another listener says, oh, I am very emotional. I wear my emotions on my sleeve. What you are likely doing is to release yours with no boundaries, no limits. When you are sad, you are really sad, even depressed. When you are angry, you are really angry, even to the point of rage. And when you are happy, you are really very happy, even to the point of unlimited ecstasy. And so some people will suppress their emotions, and others will let them run out of control and wild. But if you're human, then you have feelings. To have feeling is part of what it means to be human, to be alive. And so how is your emotional health today? Your honest answer will be contingent upon how well sin is repented of within your emotions. As I said yesterday, our emotions are planners. We concoct and carry out sin from the heart. We have iniquity in our sadness, in our anger, in our hurt, in our boredom, in our anxiety, and in our nostalgia. Not to mention all of the other human emotions. And will we be willing to be grieved by the times that we sin with those emotions? I'm not saying every time you feel an emotion, it is sin. I am not saying that every time you feel an emotion, it is sin, but you do sin with your emotions. So will we be eager to turn from evil and to return to God within our emotions? Here is where our sin gives us real trouble. Our sin will not allow us, will not let us return to God. In the Bible's Old Testament, there is a book that is largely overlooked and often not taught called the Book of Hosea. Hosea is located between Daniel and Joel, and you can turn there now if you have your Bible with you, and as you do, go to Hosea. Let me ask if you've ever read it or studied it. Perhaps you have had a sermon series on it at your church. I do not have the time today to say a lot about the context of the verses I want to read for you, but in general, this is a book about God's loyalty and love for his people, the Israelites, despite the idolatrous hearts of the Jews in Hosea's day. At this point in their history, the prophet Hosea is sent by God to give a message of repentance, and there is a heavy emphasis on emotion in this book. God feels a great deal of emotion in his love towards his people, both then and now, by the way. And God Almighty puts that on display in Hosea's life as he commands Hosea to marry a woman named Gomer. As you will read, and this weekend is an excellent time to do so, their marriage reflects the themes of sin, judgment upon sin, and the forgiveness of God via the love of God for his people. Hosea and Gomer's marriage serves as a metaphor. This is powerful. Really, it is. And I commend it to you. The book of Hosea is just 14 chapters, and it reads as a story, albeit a true story. And in chapter 5 and verse 4, Hosea addresses the apostasy of Israel, meaning their falling away from God, their defection from God. Listen to what he says. This is Hosea 5, verse 4a. Their deeds will not allow them to return to their God. By now, you are likely able to identify our second Hebrew word, shuv. In English, the word is return to, literally toward turning. Their deeds, that is their sin, will not allow them to return to God. Oh, yes, definitely. This is exactly our experience with sin also. Sin separates us from the Lord. Sin drives us further and further away from him. Our sin will not allow us, will not let us return to God. Now you say, well, I guess then there's nothing we can do. No, that is not what I am saying. Do not be so fatalistic. What we can do is to repent. Because if we repent of our sin, then listen to what Hosea chapter 3 and verse 5 promises. Now go back in Hosea to chapter 3 and verse 5. Hosea says, afterward, the sons of Israel will return and seek the Lord their God and David their king, and they will come trembling before the Lord and to his goodness in the last days. What a promise. Will return. That is the Hebrew word again for repent. When Israel repents and seeks the Lord God, that is when they will turn from evil and return to God. When they come trembling before Holy God, then they will experience once again God's goodness. Hosea chapters 5 and 3 give us this word shuv in a very colorful and very meaningful way. It means to turn from evil and to return to God. Our sin will fight us strongly on this turning, but turn, repent, we must. But we must do so with our whole hearts, that place within us that holds our emotions. Our repentance must be sincere. I want you to listen to three other Old Testament scriptures that again use this word and speak of what it means to repent within our emotions. I'll tell you what these three are and then read from them. The first is Deuteronomy 30, verse 2. The second is 1 Kings 8, verse 48. And the third is Joel 2, verses 12 to 13. Deuteronomy 30, verse 2 says, you return to the Lord your God and obey him with all your heart and soul, according to all that I command you today, you and your sons. There is the emphasis on returning to God, and notice with all our hearts and souls. That was Deuteronomy 30, verse 2. And then listen to 1 Kings 8, verse 48. This is 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 48. If they return to you with all their heart and with all their soul. Again, there is that word return, which means repent, and the emphasis with all their heart and with all their soul. Heart and soul. That is, with every fiber of their being, their emotional being. 1 Kings 8, 48. And now go with me and listen to the prophet Joel. J-O-E-L. Joel. Sometimes that doesn't come across clearly on radio. This is Joel chapter 2, verses 12 through 13. Yet even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart and with fasting, weeping, and mourning, and rend your heart and not your garments. Now return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness and relenting of evil. That was Joel chapter 2, verses 12 to 13. And this speaks of sincere and meaningful repentance from the heart, from the emotions, return to God. What a promise for the Jew first and also for us Gentiles because of what Christ has done for us. There is a lot of emotion in this statement, isn't there? Fasting, weeping, mourning. Do you hear that emphasis on grieving? Wrestle with sin and turn from it. Feel the pain of saying goodbye to your crimes against God. A lot of our sin committed with emotional fervor has become like a very good friend to us. When we are sad, we sin. When we are happy, we sin. When we are halfway in between the two, we sin. Do you mind if I share something personal as we conclude our week together? When we consider the repentance that must take place within our emotions, our minds, and our wills, I must say that for me, the most challenging sphere of all are my emotions. I cling to sin most on the landscape of my emotions, in my heart. And you name the emotion, and I can sin with it. I feel that emotion drives much of my sin against the God who I love, and against Jesus, who I most want to be like, and against the Holy Spirit, who lives within me and is grieved by my unrighteousness. And so I am having daily to constantly repent in my emotions. Oh yes, my mind and will also give me plenty of trouble. And we'll talk about those next week. But pray for me and ask God to make me repentant in my heart. I mean it sincerely. Pray for me. And you could be certain of this. I am praying for you. I hope you understand the Hebrew now. And starting Monday, we go to the Greek. In Matthew 3 and 4, John the Baptist and Jesus the Christ said, repent. So join me again on Monday as we continue to discover what repentance means.